time to listen to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by Island, the stockist of Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local gifts, art and clothing. You'll find them in Ocean View Road, Oneroa. Last Saturday, Jan Scott talked to Lindsay Champion, who's organising a... Last Saturday, Jan Scott talked to Lindsay Champion, organiser of Fashion in the Field at the upcoming beach races, Briar Ross about Jazzy Sundays, Rosalie Hennigan from the Waiheke Library, and Fiona Gregory from Waiheke Community Education.
Now, it's my pleasure to welcome Lindsay Champion to Waiheke Radio. Lindsay's going to talk to us about the beach races that are coming up in a couple of weeks' time, the 28th, I think it is, isn't it, Lindsay?
Sunday
the 28th. And you're involved with Otherworld Productions, who are organising Fashion in the Field.
Yeah, that's right. We're helping Jeunesse out, and we're going to take over this year, the Fashion in the Field, and operate that alongside her. And we're also helping Tanya Batt out with her Mad Hatter's Tea Party.
Is the Mad Hatter's Tea Party happening at the same time?
The Mad Hatter's Tea Party is in the morning, and that's for the children. And then in the afternoon is the Fashion in the Field, and that is for adults that are 15 years and over.
Right. Now, the involvement of Otherworld Productions, they provide, or you can go along and hire an outfit from them, can't you?
Yes, we've got a building at the old Blackpool School, and it's full of costumes that have been collected by various people over the years, and it's open on Fridays from 4 until 7, and it's $20 to hire a costume, which is a really good price. And if you're having a party or an event, we can open it outside these hours for on request.
For a group to come along and have a look at what they might want to get.
Yeah, if Friday didn't suit somebody and they had a group of people that needed something, we can help try and help them with that.
Right, so if you want something glamorous to wear to Fashion on the Field, then Otherworld Productions is the place to go.
Yes, you can come to us to get your Fashion in the Field outfit. We have things for most of the categories. Especially the fancy dress.
And you're taking are you actually taking the entries into the Fashion in the Field on the day, or that's it?
Yes, you register on the day. Registration is will start about 2 o'clock, and you can pick up an entry form beforehand from Island in Oneroa. We will be getting some entry forms to them soon, and basically it's you turn up on the day with your form filled out, or fill a form out, and we're going to put a limit on how many people can go in each category, which is 25.
Okay, and there are pretty good prizes, I understand.
Yep, we're collecting prizes from local businesses, and I've just been to True Blue and got some great bathing caps. And yeah, we've got massages, we've got accommodation, all sorts of things.
Sounds brilliant. Do you still require donations and sponsorship?
We're glad to take any more prizes. The more prizes we've got, the more prizes we can give out.
Great. And if somebody's out there and would like to sponsor or donate a prize, who should they contact?
They can call myself or Adele, Adele on 8003, or myself on 4287.
Okay, 372-4287. If you can help out with sponsorship or prizes for the Fashion in the Field. How long have you been involved with Otherworld Productions in this event?
I've been involved since the Wild Wild West, which was, I think, in 2006, where I went along and helped make costumes because I'm from that background, having being a hat maker for a number of years. And I've mainly been involved in the costume side of things, and now I'm the treasurer as well.
Busy lady. So the people involved with Otherworld Productions are creative types that make the costumes as well?
There's a whole bunch of people with different skills, because we've been putting on shows, we need people that do lighting and sound and backstage management and all sorts of things, making posters, just any kind of skills help. You even just carrying things, people to carry things and put up stages, just all manner of things really.
Well, I don't think people realise just how much is involved in putting on a show. There's an awful lot that happens behind the scenes and backstage, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, totally. You know, you work on a show for 2 months and it's over in 4 hours.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. And, of course, the Otherworld Productions did a great show about 3 weeks ago, didn't they? The 1920s sort of theme.
Yeah, that's right, at the Moore Hall, and the feedback from that show was really, really, really positive.
Is there anything else in the pipeline coming up in the way of the show?
We're always thinking and talking about it. Things come up all the time. There could be a possibility of something in midwinter that's possibly medieval. We all are quite big fans of Monty Python, and The Life of Brian keeps coming up, and we help out other groups as well, like the Waiheke Primary School has another quiz night coming up, and that's a masquerade one. We will be able to give costumes for that. We've got quite a few masks, and we'll probably help in some form. Last year, Christina and Anna were their trolley dollies, all dressed up in gear from down at Otherworlds. And that's another thing that we do, is to help other groups, not just a standalone kind of group, but we can store costumes for people and look after them, and help other groups that are putting on shows with things.
Yeah, Otherworld Productions, from my observation, not being involved in it, is that they're a bit of a family group. I mean, they're really got really in behind Celine when she wasn't well, and it must have really knocked you guys when she passed on. But her inspiration is still there, and her influence is still there.
Yeah, totally. We think quite often about how she might do something, or what she might say in a situation, or find that we are mimicking things that she says or things that she did. And the show in January was the first one that we'd done without her, and that was really good for all our self-esteem, to be able to carry on. What she created.
Because it's a great tribute to her that you are carrying it on so well.
Well, it's really great too, because we are all totally amateur, really. Oh, there's a few professionals amongst us. But she kind of instilled great confidence in us. You know, she's really positive about what you can achieve, and you know, just get stuck in and do it, and you know, don't worry if it goes wrong, you know, it'll be fun anyway.
With your productions and with Otherworld Productions as a group, is it by invitation only, or is it an open membership, or do you have auditions? How does that work?
No, it's kind of a situation where if you want to help, we're happy to have you. We have the costume hire that's manned, and we a lot of involvement comes from Tristan Glendening's dance classes on a Tuesday night, and that's where a lot of the base group that do a lot of the work come from. And then when we're putting on a production, we never say no to any help, basically.
Right. And who do they contact? If anybody's out there and would love to get involved, do they contact you?
They could contact me, or they could contact Adele, or they could come down on a Friday night, if they want to see what we're doing. And that's from 4 till 7. And also, if you went to the dance and you felt like you'd like to get on the stage and be dancing too, you could go along to Tristan's dance classes on a Tuesday night at 6:30.
Right, and they're down at the Blackpool, the old Blackpool Hall, aren't they? Or Blackpool School?
Yeah, that's right.
The old Blackpool. And that's where Tristan does his dance classes as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's where the dance classes are, in the hall. Next to our HQ,
it's
commonly known.
It's a good spot down there, actually.
And it's great because you can spill out into the grounds when you're doing things, you know, that don't fit in our small little building that's getting packed out with costumes.
I can imagine. It'll be quite a job keeping track of them all, cataloguing them all.
That is a job that has been spoken about quite often. We'd like to do it. It's a bit of a daunting task. I guess we'll do it eventually. But we have been just donated a computer by Rock IT, so we can do that. And I think that Mark from Rock IT is going to sort out some software for us so that we can use the correct software to...
You can set up your own program, virtually, that suits your needs.
Yeah, and we would look at companies in Auckland like First Scene and things like that and see how they do things. And
no, that's an amazing place. So, the first time I went in there, I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought, wow, you know, it's going into Aladdin's cave here. But it must be an absolute nightmare keeping track of everything.
We're getting better at it. We've got a lot of costumes out there in the community that have gone out for swimming pool fundraisers and things like that that have never come back. We would like the costumes back if anybody wants to bring them back on a Friday night.
Okay, people, just have a look in your wardrobes and under the bed and just see if you've got any costumes or clothing lurking around that you're not quite sure where that came from. You've forgotten and you think, oh my goodness, you know, I don't remember who that belonged to. That could be a worry. Well, just take it down to Otherworld Productions at the Blackpool Hall. I mean, hey, even if it isn't one of these, I'm sure they'd be happy with it.
Yeah, that's right. We're actually getting a lot of things there now that are donated, and some really, really cool stuff that people have in their wardrobes. They don't want to throw it out, and so we can use it, and we will slowly be able to be in a situation where, as good things come in, we can actually get rid of some of the stuff that's probably never, ever going to be hired or used in a show.
Yeah, yeah. What about materials? You're making a costume. Are they donated? Do you get materials donated, or do you have to buy them?
We have materials. We have a big selection of materials there. Quite often, when we have to have like 12 dancing dresses or something like that, we'll actually have to go buy the fabric because we actually don't have enough of anything. But if we're making one-off costumes, we've got a selection of fabric there, and we're really into getting donations of fabric, especially unusual sparkly things, and anything really can be used, and also things like braiding and buttons and all sorts of quirky kind of haberdashery items. That they're great. We've actually been given a lot in the past, and it's amazing what we find that we can use every time something comes up. And we've got a sewing machine down there, so while we're there, we can actually mend things and fix things and make things if we wanted.
Do you make things to order? I mean, could I go in to you and ask you to make me a costume for a party I'm going to?
Not really, but if you came and asked for a costume and we'd been asked for it a couple of times before, we would actually try and source that costume so that we had it for the future as well.
Right. So. Right. Or you may even make it and put it in your stockpile.
Yeah, that's right. And also, if anybody is out there that that loves sewing, that would like to be to make costumes for us, and we would provide the materials, you know, somebody that just loves to do stuff like that, we're totally interested as well.
Excellent. That's great. Now, you mentioned earlier on that your background was in design, or you said your background was in the costume. Are you a designer, a dressmaker?
I'm actually a hat maker or milliner.
Oh, right.
I don't usually
right.
call myself a milliner because right. I don't actually have qualifications. I'm self-taught, but I've been making hats for 16 years for a living. So, and I do what they call soft hats, and I sell them all over New Zealand, and I've got a shop that I supply in the Blue Mountains, and another one in England, a Kiwi Gallery. Mm-hmm. And I'm the week after the beach races, I'm off to the Ellerslie Flower Show with my hats.
Oh, great. It seems to me that there aren't too many milliners around these days.
There's about four or five major soft hat milliners in New Zealand, and but the more avant-garde type milliners that do races and weddings and stuff like that are kind of thinning out, and I've watched the industry thin out over the years. So and for instance, there's in Auckland, there aren't that many places that you can buy a millinery, you know, a great piece of millinery.
Yeah, that's right. Probably Smith and Co's, I think, comes to mind. But
yeah, there's a few Modes in Broadway, and there's Urban Turbans in Devonport and stuff like that. But a city like Christchurch at one stage had two hat shops, but they seem to have been that one of those is gone. And yeah, no, it seems that the hats are getting kind of spread through other shops rather than having dedicated shops.
Right. And there's an awful lot of hats now that are mass produced, of course. And that's something that I find very frustrating. I was trying to find a sun, you know, nice hat for the summertime. And they're all one size fits all. And believe it or not, a lot of people won't believe this, but my head is smaller than most of those. And so the first gust of wind, and it blows off down the beach.
Over the years, a lot of my business has come from people with small and large heads, because if you don't have a size 57 centimetre head, which is the world average, you don't get one bought in from China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the red hat ladies... you don't see too many red hats around either that you can just go and buy off the shelf. Well, they're the red hat ladies or the purple hat ladies? Red hat ladies.
Yeah, no, they're red hat, and they're usually decorated with purple.
That's right, yes.
I've made a couple for people, and I have had a few conversations with people who say that they've struggled to find them. But a lot of those ladies like to find their hat and decorate it themselves as well.
Very talented.
Yes.
Now, getting back to the beach races, what time does the fashion in the field start, do you know?
The fashion in the field, the registrations start about 2, and I think the judging is around about 3:30. Now, that's something that I should know, but I don't. But another thing that we need to know, that everyone needs to know, are the categories.
Yeah,
we have four categories. They are historic bathing bells, and so you can get your granny's bathing suit out. And then we have avant-garde, which is your high fashion kind of number. And fancy dress, which is a bit more kind of dress up. And mad hat.
Is there a theme for the fancy dress, or is it an open category?
No, they're all open categories. At this stage, this is our first year of doing it. We've gone for these four categories. We'll have a look, we'll kind of assess them afterwards and see what happens. But yeah, and the last one is mad hats, which is a really easy one. you know, so you just need to make a hat. And on the day, we're going to have some characters from the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, and they will be going around encouraging people that look good on the day to enter Fashion in the Field.
Oh, great. That's an excellent idea. Is there a category for children?
The category for children is the Mad Hatter's, and that's in the morning with Tanya Batts, and then the children have got other things like the Big Dig. So at this stage there isn't a Fashion in the Field for children under 15.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. I'm busy doing other things. It's a great day, and we encourage you all to get down there to the Onitanya Beach Races on the 28th and to enter in the Fashion in the Field. Now, if you're interested in getting involved with Otherworld Productions, then please contact Lindsay. And your phone number again?
Is 4287.
372-4287. And that's if you want to get involved in any way at all, particularly immediately, for the sponsorship, we need the sponsorship and the prizes for the Fashion in the Field. But if you want to help out backstage or making clothes and hats and things, then give Lindsay a ring or mosey on down to the Old Blackpool School on a Friday between 4 and 7. Thank you, Lindsay, for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Now, it's my great pleasure to welcome Briar Ross. And Briar's going to talk to us about these the initiative she's taken, which is absolutely wonderful, of Jazz and Blues on the Vines at the Golf Club. And it started last Sunday. It's on from 1 o'clock through to about 5 or 6. And it was absolutely brilliant. And I think we had about 80 people through there, Briar, did we?
Yes, we did. Yeah, which was quite good for the first in a series, yeah.
And this series is carrying on every Sunday through to Easter.
That's right, there's 10, so we're up for the second one coming up this weekend, and they'll go right through until Easter Sunday. And there's also a great band called Gumbo, which is also like a real blues band with a harmonica or anything on Easter Monday. And Easter Sunday is now the trio, so I'll be expecting a really big crowd then. Very popular.
Yes, indeed, and they've been here numerous times, so lots of people know about them.
Mm.
But, hey, let's say we don't just stick with the well-known and the warm. We've got, tomorrow, we've got Hot Club Sandwich.
They're from Wellington.
They are from Wellington. I've been traveling around playing various festivals, and they're so great. They're just really excellent musicians.
And they do something that I don't always quite cotton on to really quickly, is they write a lot of their own songs. I find that it takes a little while to get to know a song. I need to hear it a few times. I'm a bit fan of things that I'm quite familiar with. But their songs and their lyrics are so clever and so funny. The audience will just be enthralled. So they're great entertainers as well.
That's great. And for somebody whose hearing's not the greatest, they can understand the lyrics.
There's one song I always get them to sing. I can't quite remember what the title of the song is, but they're funny and they're quirky, and this one's about a white guy who wants to be able to sing the blues like a black person. He said, I had to get my wife to leave me just so I could write this song.
Right, yes, that sounds great. If it's all on that line, it's going to be a fun afternoon.
Yeah.
And, of course, the weather's great. But it doesn't matter whether it's bucketing down with rain, because we can move inside to the clubhouse.
Oh, that's right. They've got the inside of the clubhouse, which is quite big, and then it's fine, we're out on the deck, and then the deck has got some lovely steps that the golf club members have put in for us. They've been really fantastic, getting our venue looking really spot on. And that goes down onto a lovely grassy area, and there's half a dozen big olive trees there that provide some shade. So, yeah, so the deck and the grass, if it's fine, and the deck and inside, if it's not.
Absolutely. One thing I was impressed with last week was the sound system. It didn't matter where you were sitting, outside on the grass or inside, the sound was brilliant.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that, because I just invested in a new PA system, and it was was suggested by John Quigley of IRB Trio. They use it for not their huge big gigs, but their medium-sized gigs. And yeah, it's just a small system, but it's really good.
I had a number of people comment on it.
It's good to know.
Yeah, so it is. Because quite often you get in a spot and it's really good, and then you move somewhere else and you can't hear it very well. So now, tell us something about some of the other artists that are coming up.
Okay, well, this Hot Club Sandwich this Sunday. Next Sunday, Santiago, they're a Latin band. They came and did one of the jazzy Sundays that I did at the Brian Coral Road last year, so that's a bit of a Latin thing. I like to try and mix different sounds up so people can experience different kind of genres, so they're really great. And then on Sunday the 28th, which is the beach races, so I guess a lot of people will be down there, but I'm hoping they'll come up to us afterwards, is Chocolate Fish, which is a really well-known local band, Chris Orange, Pete Lowry and Anna Grace, with a guy called John McKay, who's a Canadian born pianist who lives in LA, who's coming out to Waikiki to maybe to live or to look anyway. And that will be a real treat to have an international overseas person like him to play for us, so that will be really good. And then we've got the Bridge City Jazzmen, which is a trad Dixie kind of thing. It's a six-piece band, so that'll be great. Then Phil Broadhurst is here with the Jazz Divas, and he's will have a slightly modern kind of aspect to what he plays. He'll be here with his quartet. High Vibes are a group I haven't heard before, but they're highly recommended. And I play a vibraphone, which is a different sound. I think it's a really cool sound. I love the vibraphone. And then Barry Clewitt and Jim Hayes. Barry Clewitt has got a big band, but he'll be coming with a quartet, so he'll be just doing some standards. And they're doing a tribute to Ella Fitzgerald, I think. Pretty sure it's Ella Fitzgerald. And then, of course, the IRB Trio that everybody knows. I get right amongst the audience and had a great time. And then the last one, Easter Monday, Gumbo, also came out last year. And they're what I call a real blues band. He plays harmonica, and yeah, it's just really, really great music.
That's a great lineup, and there's surely something in there for everyone, I'd say.
Well, that's right. My band alternates. How it works is my trio starts for half an hour, and then the main band goes on for probably an hour, and then we fill the gaps. So my band will be just doing what I do in between. So.
And your band is?
My band is Chris Orange from the Island on Bass. And it was John Wilcox on the keyboard. He comes over here a lot. He's very obliging, but he fell down the stairs and cracked or something or other.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so he's out for the series. So it's sort of open who's going to be playing for me. This week it's Spike, Mike Walker, who's coming over. But fortunately, there are quite a few very talented piano players.
Well, worst comes the worst. There's nothing you can't go past Byron and Chris.
That's right.
Now, the tickets, I think, are a great price. If you prepay them, it's $15, and you can buy the tickets from Shop the Rock, Waiheke Golf Club, or the Waiheke Eyesight. But if you just turn up at the gate on the day, it's $20. That's not too bad at all. And children under 12 are free.
Right, well, I wanted to keep the price down for Waiheke people because they're my bread and butter. You know, I really need them to support me to keep doing things like this. So,
The other thing that's good too is you've got the option of taking your own picnic or buying food there. But because the golf club are accommodating, they're making their money on the bar, basically, aren't they? So it's not BYO, but you can certainly bring your own food.
Right, but wine and beer is a really reasonable price there. Yeah. So they're doing a barbecue. You can bring your own barbecue if you want, and we were selling a barbecue, but we found last week people didn't want to do that. They wanted to listen to the music. So we're really just going to be doing two kinds of platters with olive oil from my olive grove and olives and dips and salami and that kind of thing. Mm. People seem to want a little snack platter a couple of people could share, so that's what we're doing.
That's a good idea, actually, because it's a hot summer's day and you're just sitting there listening to the jazz and looking at something. It sounds great. Now, how did you get into the olive business?
Well, when I came to Waiheke, I sort of fell in love with the property that I have. It has 120 olive trees on it, so they came with it. And so over the years I've become an olive expert, theoretically. Of course I just love my olive oil. I sell it at the Waiheke Fruit and Veg, I do two kinds of oil, a blend of two or three different sorts of oils, and a koiki, which is a little Greek oil. And that oil is a really special. People really love it. And I pickle olives as well. As I said to somebody, when you find me sitting outside tatting, just get a gun and shoot me, because I'm not a big pickling olives, but I quite enjoy it.
Absolutely, it's great. And I've heard that your olive oil is really good. I haven't yet tried it, I must admit, but I will have a go tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, I think this is a brilliant initiative, Briar, and thanks so much for doing it, because it's been a big hole for Waiheke and jazz since the jazz festival.
Expired.
So this is a great a great initiative, and I wish you every success with it.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your support and your listeners.
Thanks for coming in. Don't forget to get down to the Waiheke Golf Club tomorrow afternoon from 1 o'clock. You can just stroll in as and when. It goes on until about 6, I think. And it would be great fun with the hot club sandwich.
You're listening to Island Life, Waiheke People, Events and Issues, brought to you by Island, Art, Craft, Giftware, Clothing and Bric-a-Brac, Ocean View Road, Onirua.
And it's my pleasure now to welcome Rosalie from the library. Welcome, Rosemary.
Thank you very much, Jan. It's a pleasure to be back again. My goodness, you know, sort of suddenly it seems like a long time since I've had the pleasure of saying, good morning, Waiheke. But, you know, school's back, the routine is starting to get into play again, and I'll soon be back to reading. I have actually been reading, of course, try and stop me, more of my Booker nominations, but before I talk about those, I'd just like to mention that a couple of the teens have been raving about a series called The Companions. So me being me, I had to start at book one. I don't know how I missed it, because it's Julia Golding, and she writes excellent books for teens, especially in the 9 to 14 years sort of bracket, possibly slightly older. The Cat Royal series were very popular, and somehow I missed out on the Companion series, but it's really good. So if anyone's looking for a book for teenagers, particularly a teenage girl, but also for boys, The Secret of the Sirens. It's actually a girl who is gifted in an affinity with animals, or with, in this case, mystical creatures. And so you meet unicorns and sirens, and it's just such a totally interesting concept, and how different people of the human race have been hiding them and protecting them and keeping them out of trouble, and you know, sort of working with them so that they can continue living in ecologically sensitive areas. And suddenly an oil base is going to be built, and so, of course, this book is set around the sirens. Julia Golding always writes good book for teens, so a very good recommendation there from me. Now, to get on to the adult ones, the Booker Prize nominations, Girl in a Blue Dress by Gaynor Arnold. I picked it up and I started and I thought, is this a biography? And I was so certain that I checked the looked for the catalogue number 920 on the back, you know, the due number for biographies. And then it said Arnold, and I thought, okay. So I continued reading, thinking, well, is it fiction? It reads like a biography. It's a story set in mid-Victorian England about this beautiful little very pretty girl in a blue dress, and her father is quite a wealthy publisher, and she meets this young man of immense charm and literary genius, and the father is very, very impressed with this young man, but of course the young daughter takes after him in a very romantic way, and you can't help but be drawn into their romance and their marriage, and then the pregnancies come and come and come, and the poor girl Dorothea becomes absolutely unable to control her weight. Her sister comes and helps her and gradually takes over the household, and she's gradually put a side and is lost from the husband, and it's just such a domestic psychology. It's absolutely wonderful. The book actually starts with the death of the man they call the Great One, and all of London goes out to mourn him because they've just relished his stories. And I thought, is this a biography of Charles Dickens? but it doesn't actually say that. But reading between the lines, I think it's a device to avoid any scandal by saying, well, it's not a biography, it's not done, it's done as a fiction. But it certainly looked like that. And I thought the most brilliant review, which I'd love to quote here, comes from the New York Times Book Review and says, Arnold, that's Gaynor Arnold, the author, picks apart domestic psychology as efficiently as a housemaid cleaning a coal stove. What a wonderful description,
yes.
Jan.
Yes, it is indeed.
And so you sort of witness Dorothy's descent into the sea of inability to do anything. And after her husband's death, Queen Victoria sends her an invitation that she'd like to meet her. And Dorothy discovers that, after all, she is interesting. The two widows really get on well, and Queen Victoria says, look, you know, if you have any trouble, more or less, contact me. And so she thinks, well, maybe I have something to offer after all. And so she struggles to regain her children and to regain her place in society. And you realise, and I think she does too, that her charming literary husband, a man of such actor ability and drama and theatricality and charm, is also a jolly control freak. Mm. But it has taken her that long to see it, and that's one of the tragedies of it. So that's a book that, as you can tell, Jan, I thoroughly enjoyed, Girl in a Blue Dress by Gaynor Arnold. And I'm still in the process of reading Wolf Hall. I started it the other day, but with family commitments, I haven't actually got very far through it, so I'll have to save that for next time. But I would have thought it might have come very close to winning. So do keep your eye out for that one. Mm. Another one on the list, which I have to admit I was slightly disappointed in, but as usual, there's some wonderful lines. A.S. Byatt's The Children's Book. And it's a very complex novel set in England, again, late Victorian this time, 1890 and into Edwardian 1914. There's four families who revolve around a woman storyteller this time, of myths and magic. Olive lives a pre-Raphaelite life, and she makes stories up about her children, but gradually she's forced into becoming the breadwinner. The children's book is very interesting historically because it gives great insight. The research that she's done is brilliant. It shows the development of London's museums and the potteries and the genius at work in the potteries in England at that time, and it even takes you with a potter and his apprentice to the Exposition of Paris, which I found very descriptive. This, as I said, A.S. Byatt comes up with some wonderful lines that really so witty and clever, and I thought this one summed the book up. Olive reveals to her sister that she has seen something disturbing, and her sister replies, "That was stupid of you. Better not to see." And I thought, so much of late Victorian, from what we understand, does seem to be encapsulated. So she is, of course, a brilliant writer. A.S. Byatt, The Children's Book. So that's one that I give with a, you have to work at it sort of a thing. And I did feel a couple of times that she allowed her storytelling hero to get away with a bit much at times.
So on a 1 to 10 scale?
Probably a 6.
Okay.
Whereas I'd give Girl in a Blue Dress, I really love that, probably 8 to 9. Yes,
right.
Very good.
Good summer reading there.
Oh, very good. Yes, if you've got an idle time. You do have to concentrate on A.S. Byatt, but I did find Gaynor Arnold wonderfully clever to read, and being a woman, you could just see where she was placed, and you think, why doesn't she realise what her husband's doing? And then, of course, when he falls for this actress and won't admit it and sets her aside, and she's in this pokey little apartment, and her husband's one of the richest men in London, you think, this is so wrong.
Mm.
But it's,
you know, how it was back then, isn't it?
Indeed, yes. Indeed, because women weren't able to control, and yet it was through her money that he and her father that he got his great start. So, very interesting.
So
books are always fun.
Oh, they are, aren't they? And you've been had a busy time over the holidays?
I've had the great joy of my daughter coming over from Seattle and my small grandson, who's 22 months, so most days we've been down at Little O and playing there. And then the last few the last couple of weeks, her husband came out to join her, and they flew back 2 days ago, so they're safely back in Seattle now. But I'd just like to say a thank you to everyone who was so kind to me. I was loaned so many different things, toys and cot sheets and all the things I needed just appeared. Waiheke is wonderful. Waiheke Rent-A-Cot. Mm-hmm. Michelle was brilliant, absolutely wonderful. She came and helped me, and I got stuck with the car seat one time, and she helped me with that. Plunkett Rent-A-Cot, a very good service. We're very well set up for grandmas and granddads on this island.
I think we're very well set up, full stop.
Good point, yes. Good point, Jan. And I must admit, the water at the moment, my little grandson loves the sea. In fact, he just runs straight into it. Took him a while, but now he's had the time, he just thinks it's wonderful. So that's great.
We're also very lucky that we've got a well set up library.
Oh, indeed, yes.
And it's very welcoming. And have you got any projects on over there at the moment?
Well, we've just finished the school holidays one, which is always quite a big one, and it was very successful this year. We had a wee bit more flexibility, and it made it easier for the parents to bring the children in at times that suit rather than must do each week. And I think that was very good. And also, of course, being Valentine's Day, we've got Blind Date with a Book, which is always a bit of fun, you know, sort of we've just suggested different books and take them out for a blind date. Not necessarily a romantic one.
That sounds like fun.
It is.
Thank you, Rosalie, very much for coming in. Rosalie from the library. And it's my pleasure to welcome Fiona Gregory. Welcome, Fiona.
Good morning.
Well, Fiona is the coordinator of community education classes at the high school, is that correct?
That's right. So we coordinate evening classes, and also we have some daytime and weekend classes, short courses for adults that help them develop skills for work, leisure activities, and just things that they enjoy doing.
So what sort of topics do you cover?
We have a new program that comes out four times a year, so it follows the school terms roughly. And this term we've got languages, arts, we have a lot of work-related things like computing, first aid courses, MYOB accounting. And there's also some really exciting new courses on offer this term. There's a drama class for adults who have never tried their hand at acting but have always wanted to do so.
Is this
like
the
that.
Dramability that I was talking about earlier?
It is dramability. People may have seen that advertised around the place for children, but there's also an option for adults as well.
That sounds great. These courses, they run the same time as the school term, do they?
Roughly, yeah, they do roughly. They tend to start a couple of weeks after the kids are back at school, just to give everyone a chance to get organised. Seems to work quite well for people who are parents who want to come to courses.
That's great. And are they usually at night time?
Most of the courses are in the evening. They tend to start around about 6:30 or 7 p.m. We do try to cater for people who have to commute from Auckland, you know, give them a chance to come home and get changed before they come along to one of our courses.
Right. And the people who take the courses, are they part of your normal teaching staff, or are they
some
people
of them
that come in outside of that?
Some of them are. We have had teachers from the school before, and we certainly encourage people to do that if they wish to. But many of the people are local people with a lot of skills themselves that they can share with people, other people in the community. We have artists, we have actors, we have builders, we have people who are great with computers. We have people like Brent, who's one of your announcers up here. He's teaching a website course this term. So we're really drawing on a pool of talent that we have on Waiheke. I think we're very lucky here to have a huge talented group of people.
Yes, certainly are. Yes, I was talking earlier on to Lindsay Champion of Otherworld Productions about the fashion in the field, and she was talking about the talented people who are doing the costumes and hats and things for them. Mm. So there's certainly a real variety of talent out there.
One of the problems with, I understand that you've got with the courses this year is the lack of funding.
Yes, that was an issue that came up last year when the government announced in their budget that they were going to cut all funding for schools who run community education classes. And then a little bit of funding was made available again, but in a very targeted way. So we heard at the beginning of last year that we would receive no funding for this year, which was a huge blow, as you can imagine. We didn't receive a lot of funding on Waiheke because we're just a small community and a small school, but it makes a big difference. And so, unfortunately, most of our classes this year are not subsidised at all by any government funding, but we're still a not-for-profit organisation, so we've tried to keep the rates as reasonable as we can. However, we do have some funding for some courses, which is really great news, for things like literacy and numeracy courses, and also for English, for speakers of other languages, and Te Reo Māori, beginning computing. So they're really looking at things that are foundation-level courses now.
Right, and prior to the budget last year, the funding that was made available subsidised all of the courses that you offered to
Yes, it did.
Adult education
that's
courses.
Right, it did.
Right, so now if you want to learn Mongolian or something, you've got to do
Appalachian log dancing.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, while you're speaking Mongolian. Then you've got to fund that totally yourself.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we do. So it was a move that most of us in the sector, of course, disagreed with. And the reason that we disagreed with the funding cut is that it's really important for adults to keep learning throughout their lives. You know, it keeps us all thinking, interested, motivated. And some of those courses can start a pathway or a journey for people that they didn't even know they were going to do. You know, doing a woodwork course can lead to all sorts of business opportunities or an interest in further study that people might not have known that they had until they came along.
Have you noticed a downturn in registrations for this year?
It's hard to tell at this stage because it's still early. We're still taking enrolments for our courses. Most of them start this coming week or the week after. So we're still taking enrolments. Time will tell, I suppose. Yeah.
What about can people find out information as to what courses you're offering?
They can have a look in the Gulf News this week. We always run our program in the Gulf News about 4 or 5 weeks leading up to the start of courses. They can also pick up a brochure from the library in Onirua, from the Citizens Advice Bureau, or from Waiheke High School. Okay. And of course, they can look on our website, waihekecomed.co.nz.
Okay, that's great. And are those programs that are advertised at the moment, they're just for this coming semester? Or?
Yeah, they're just for this coming term. So they run through until April, basically, and then we'll have some new courses starting in May.
Okay. Now, how long is each course, I mean, in duration? Is it a couple of hours?
Yes, so it'll be a couple of hours per session. Usually we have one session a week, and the courses tend to run for 6 to 8 weeks.
And can you give me a broad outline of how much it might cost someone to go to a course?
It depends on the course, really. So if you're looking at one of the courses that we have funding for this year, such as English for Communication, which is our course for English speakers of other languages, that one costs just $65 for 8 weeks, which is a really great rate. We have Conversational Reo Māori, which is $45 for an 8-week course. So we're really encouraging people to take advantage of those funded courses so that we can keep getting some more funding for them in the future.
Yes. And what about courses that aren't subsidised?
Sure. So those ones are a wee bit more expensive, but they're still a lot cheaper than going to town for a course, actually. An example of that would be something like an Italian or a Spanish course, which we can offer for $125 for the course. If you went to continuing education at Auckland University, it might cost you twice as much as that. So we're still quite conscious of keeping the price down for people to be able to do courses in their home community.
And you add on the ferry fare on top of that, of course.
That's right.
Yes.
Of course, they're wonderful courses too. So.
Yes, yes. Now, you've also got a special deal with the Waiheke Recreation Centre, haven't you?
Yes, that's right. We're sort of a little adult learning hub down at Community Education because we work closely with Waiheke Adult Literacy, who also have courses starting in the next few weeks. And we also work closely with the Waiheke Recreation Centre. They have a gym down there. And this year, for people who enrol in a course either with us at Community Education or at Waiheke Adult Literacy, we have a special gym membership deal that it only costs $10 per week to join the gym, and that normally costs $17.50, so it's a really good price reduction for students of Community Education.
That's excellent, isn't
it? So you can have some fitness for your body as well as your mind.
Yes, indeed, that sounds great. Now, if you had a lot of interest in a particular course that wasn't currently funded by the government, would there be a possibility of putting a case for next year for getting funding for that course?
Well, people can always contact us if they're interested in a course, and we'll definitely look at the possibility of running that. And we're also very keen always to hear from people who maybe want to tutor a course. So if there's somebody who wants to teach a course in any topic really that may be of interest to adults, they are welcome to contact us. In terms of funding, I would have to refer people to perhaps Nikki Kaye or Anne Tolley, who is the Minister of Education. I'm sure that you can still write letters and make your opinions known about the funding situation for adult and community education.
Mm, yes. Now, how do you decide what topics are going to be on the program each year?
We have a community consultation process that we use, where we talk to organisations around the island, and we also have surveys. So we ask people what topics they're interested in, and you'll also see me down at the Ostend Market a few times a year and talking to people down there as well. So we go out and about, and we're always interested in hearing your ideas.
Okay, now if anybody's interested in the Waiheke Community Education Program and think there might be something that you'd like to do, you can contact them on 372-6417 and or email waihekecomed, that's Waiheke COMMED at gmail.com. And of course it's held at the high school, isn't it?
Yes, it's held at the Community Education Centre, which is right next door to the Recreation Centre.
Right. But just having a quick look at some of the things in here, we've got woodwork skills and textile art. Rose McLeod, she's one of our top patchwork people, has been for many years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's $105 for 6 weeks.
I know. I think we're very lucky to be able to offer classes with amazing artists like her. And another one is Creation Station, which is a painting course with Linda Cook, who, of course, is another well-known artist. I think she had a painting that was highly commended in the Walker and Hall exhibition last year.
Right.
So people are very lucky to have this type of tutors, actually.
Absolutely. Now, we mentioned Dramability earlier on, and Bez, Al and Simon were sort of saying, yeah, that's a made-up word, there's no such thing as Dramability. Can you tell us something about that?
Well, Dramability is the name of Cindy Peterkin's drama company. She runs courses for adults and for children. And I guess it's all about people having the confidence and the ability to present themselves, to be involved in drama and acting. And she's really encouraging people to come along who have had no experience before. So if you've always wanted to try your hand at acting, this would be the place to do it. It's a safe environment, a small class, lots of fun with theatre sports games and all sorts of improvisation. But she'll be also talking about getting into a role, voice and movement and things like that. So I think even if you don't want to be an actor, it would be a really good thing in terms of your confidence with public speaking and so forth.
Sounds like great fun. Now, I noticed at the bottom of the page here, there are some free courses. Get your learner driver's license. That's on Tuesdays at 6:30.
building writing skills, Tuesdays from 9 a.m. to noon. Stepping up to success, work on your own goals and support your children's education. That's Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 till midday. And those courses start on the 2nd of March. They sound pretty good.
That's right. Those courses are run by Waiheke Adult Literacy, and if people would like to enrol for those, they need to contact Lynn on 372 9868 for an appointment. They're really fabulous courses run by Adult Literacy that are designed to help people develop their goals and work on their learning skills. Wonderful courses, wonderful tutors.
But you're working with Adult Literacy, don't you?
Yes, we share an office and we work very closely together, and we have complementary courses, I suppose, and we're able to share a lot of resources, and it works really well.
So do you have sufficient resources, and where do they come from?
The resources that we have come from a variety of places. Most of the funding that we have for community education for developing things comes through the Tertiary Education Commission and also from student fees. And we've been very lucky to be able to retain things that tutors have developed over the years. So we have a sort of depth of resources there that we can draw on, which is great.
That's excellent. Well, thank you, Fiona, for coming in and talking to us about the various courses that are put on by Waiheke Community Education. And the First Term programme starts
this week.
It starts this week.
Most of the courses will start this week or the following week. And the majority of courses still have spaces available in them. So if people want to join, it's definitely not too late. Just give us a call and we'll put your name down on the register.
That sounds brilliant. And call 372-6417. Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you very much, Jan.
You've been listening to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life, our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. Island Life is brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, and the interviews are replayed on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. They're also available as a download from our website, www.waihekeradio.org.nz. Island Life is brought to you by Island, the shop with Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local art, craft, giftware, clothing and bric-a-brac. Island, Ocean View Road, Onirola.